Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Thursday, October 13th. Today, we're talking to the Sun's event and marketing director, Christina Pritchett, about the two debates we recently hosted, as well as some upcoming events. Before we begin, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for an in-person U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. Senator Michael Bennett and candidate Joe O'Day will answer questions on October 18th at 10 a.m. Registration is free, but space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Many frontier Colorado towns longed for a railroad connection to the wider world. In fact, the arrival of passenger and freight service often represented a make-or-break prospect. Pagosa Springs, named for thermal waters nearby, offered an example of this steel salvation when the Rio Grande, Pagosa, and Northern Railroad laid tracks into the town on this date in 1900. The aspen and pine timber industry inspired this spur off the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad. Construction started in the fall of 1899 from the DNRG line at Pagosa Junction, about 30 miles down the San Juan River from Pagosa Springs. Grading and track laying proceeded for the next year through rugged mountain country along the river. In August 1900, as the line neared completion, a newspaper reported on the excitement. Quote, "It will be time to celebrate, for a railroad means a great deal to this place. Pagosa will soon be in the swim." When the new line reached the town, it benefited the scattered timber camps in the region and led to the construction of new lumber mills as well, with easier access to markets, supplies, and workers. In 1906, the DNRG acquired the line and operated it for 30 years until the Great Depression forced the line's abandonment. Eventually, the tracks came up and automobile traffic replaced the path into Pagosa Springs. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and CBS News Colorado will host a gubernatorial debate on October 13th at 6 p.m. with Governor Jared Polis and candidate Heidi Ganahl. The debate will air and be available to stream. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. Today, we are visiting with Christina Pritchett, the Sun's Event and Marketing Coordinator. Hey, Christina, it seems like you're a frequent flyer for us nowadays.
Hey, Carol. Yeah, no, I really enjoy it, and any opportunity I can to promote the Colorado Sun's events is a great opportunity, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And one of the reasons I wanted you back on is we co-hosted a robust political event last night that included two debates, one between the candidates for Colorado State Treasurer and the other between the candidates for Colorado Secretary of State. And the Colorado Sun's political team, including Jesse Paul and Sandra Fish, moderated the event with the University of Denver's Center for American Politics and CBS4.
Yes, that is correct. We had about 150 people in attendance at the University of Denver's Joseph Korbel School of International Studies. It was a really great night, and everyone was super excited to be there. And I actually have a clip for you from the Democratic Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, and her Republican challenger, Pam Anderson, and how they discussed what would make the Colorado election system more secure. So here's a clip on that topic.
Our next question is, we want to know how you would make Colorado's election system more secure. What are the weaknesses right now? Clerk Anderson, this question goes to you first.
So I believe that there's always work to do as a professional elections official, and being very proud of the work that my bipartisan colleagues have done in Colorado for access and security and integrity. When elected, I will bring some of the best practices that I developed as an election official that I've shared both here in Colorado and across the country. Things that allow us to test and verify that the job that we're doing, bipartisan judges, is accurate. So for example, I would bring the signature verification quality assurance audit that checks to make sure our judges aren't getting too tired, that their training is right, or that there's no nefarious actor repeatedly rejecting ballots like we had in Boulder County. Those types of audits is what I'll take to Secretary of State to improve the process. Operational audits like voter lists to make sure that we're not sending postcards to places that were that aren't supposed to be going, or that our lists are as accurate as possible, are some of the improvements that we could make.
Secretary Griswold?
Well, thank you so much. Colorado's elections are some of the securest in the nation, and Coloradans should be confident in their election infrastructure and that their votes are counted accurately and with precision. And we're always going to innovate. That's why I led the nation's first insider threat package and law. One of the things that I've led is automatic voter registration, a program that makes our election, the statewide voter registration system, more secure, our rolls more accurate, and has registered over 350,000 people. Pam, one of the things that I'm really wondering about is that you supported automatic voter registration, the new system, a month before jumping into the candidacy. Then you opposed it during the primary, and now I believe you support it again. And I think I'm very interested to know if you support the current automatic voter registration system as implemented in the state of Colorado.
Well, I really appreciate that question. I do support automatic voter registration. When we passed it in 2017 and provided only the opt-out for voters for driver's licenses, the system was expanded in 2019 under Jenna as secretary, and that's true. The challenges that we have with automatic voter registration, I think what we need to share with voters is that when there are issues with a system, we need to resolve them and not ignore them because it doesn't fit a political dialogue. There have been exceptions like truck driving schools that have registered voters that aren't permanent residents.
Time.
And we need to address those issues to maintain confidence.
So I'm very interested, Pam, if you support the current 2019 implementation of automatic voter registration that has registered 350,000 eligible people and makes our systems more secure. I'm very interested in that, and I'm sure Colorado voters are also. I hear what you said in 2017. I'm wondering about our current system, if you support it.
I absolutely support automatic voter registration. I led on same-day voter registration, and I will continue to do that, but I will also do it well. That is our tradition in Colorado, not ignoring problems.
And here's a clip from our political reporter, Jesse Paul, asking a question about refunds to state taxpayers that were sent earlier this year. Republican Treasurer candidate Lang Sias answers first, followed by Democratic candidate and current incumbent Dave Young.
So, Representative Sias, this question is going to go to you. So, you have attacked Treasurer Young for backing Proposition CC in 2019, which would have eliminated the state TABOR refunds permanently. But then celebrating the refund scheme that was unveiled by Democrats this year, passed by the legislature. I wonder, though, if you support the flat rate refund mechanism enacted by Democrats this year, or do you think the state should just stick with its six-tier refund mechanism that it's operated under?
Sure. I would prefer to stick with the original TABOR mechanism, but I'm not overly lathered up about the changes that they made to that refund mechanism. What I do find to be a problem is when, on the one hand, you have used the power and influence of the Treasurer's office to try and end the refunds forever, and then you turn around after the voters say no, and essentially, as an election ploy, want to get credit for giving them the refunds that they were A, going to get anyway, and B, that you tried to prevent. It's a bit of hypocrisy, and I do have a problem with that.
Treasurer Young.
So, I do believe that the Treasurer should always follow the law. TABOR is in the Constitution. It demands refunds. I think what we were able to do is actually change the way refunds were done to benefit people. And, you know, the sixth tier that my opponent has advocated for actually rewards the most wealthy with refunds, and the hardworking people of the state of Colorado really wouldn't make much in the way of refunds if we hadn't gone to a flat system. So I think the move to a flat system was actually more beneficial to a larger number of people here in the state of Colorado. You can classify it any way you want. But the fact is that we also moved those refunds to the present. Most people have gotten their refunds. The Republicans were fine waiting until April or March next year. But we know people are experiencing high costs and impacts from inflation. So we got that money into the pocket of people now.
Well, of course they moved it forward, which I wouldn't have any objection to, except for the fact that they're trying to take credit for it in an election and take credit for something they tried to abolish and prevent from ever happening.
I supported CC because it did two things. It said, let's use our refunds to meet essential needs. We aren't meeting the essential needs of people here in the state of Colorado. That CC was designed to move Tabor refunds so that we could actually fund education and transportation. And you don't have to go very far to see, I already talked about low educator salaries, lowest in the country, and our transportation issues are always apparent everywhere you go. So I'm happy that I made that effort to try to solve problems here in the state of Colorado.
Thank you.
Well, that's a good one also. And it seems like the crowd heard some really informative dialogue. You were there. I was there in the audience and also in the lobby with helping the registered attendees get into the event. And it really was a great night. Can you tell us a little bit about what else we have coming up with this election season?
I'd love to. Tonight, the Colorado Sun is actually co-hosting a gubernatorial debate with Governor Jared Polis and his challenger, Heidi Ganahl, which will air on CBS4 tonight at 6 p.m. Information on this can be found on coloradosun.com/events. And then on Tuesday, October 18th, the Colorado Sun is one of many media partners for Meeting of the Minds, a U.S. candidate forum with incumbent U.S. Senator Michael Bennett and his challenger Joe O'Day. And they'll be focusing on mental health, and this will feature our very own Jennifer Brown, our government and human services reporter, CBS4, CPR, and many great other organizations in the state. This will be a live event at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus at 10 a.m. There are tickets available for free, and information can be found on coloradosun.com/events.
That's going to be another great one. Again, this week and next week are busy, and I know through the November 8th election, we will have a lot of information on local and statewide elections. And to that point, on Wednesday, the Colorado Sun launched a very informative voter guide that tells our readers and listeners everything they need to know before filling out the ballot for that November 8th midterm election. And the voter guide includes information on ballot measures, when and where debates are that we might not be involved in, but other ones that folks can either attend or listen to virtually, multiple races, campaign finance breakdowns, and much more, and including our own latest election news. So folks can go to our website, coloradosun.com, and click on the Colorado Voter Guide 2022 election icon and get comprehensive info for these elections and ballot measures. So Christina, anything else besides the events we have through next week?
We always have events going on, and the easiest way to stay up to date on that is by signing up for our events email. To do that, you can just head to coloradosun.com/events, and there's a bright yellow button right at the top where you can just fill out a quick form.
Excellent. Thank you. I get that in my inbox, and I really appreciate you doing it. And our listeners, if they have any thoughts or questions about the Daily Sunup, drop us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. And thanks, Christina, and to everybody who helped produce today's podcast, and to our production partners, Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day, and I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. President Joe Biden's designation of Camp Hale as a national monument this week is renewing questions over whether a future president could roll it back. Presidential monuments have stirred legal fights since the inception of the 1906 Antiquities Act, many involving disputes over their size. Lawsuits are now pending in Utah related to the Bear's Ears National Monument in the state's southeastern corner. That litigation could test the scope of presidential powers under the Antiquities Act and help answer whether Camp Hale Monument is here to stay. Health insurance company Bright Health said Tuesday that it won't offer insurance plans in Colorado next year. That means roughly 55,000 people in the state will need to find new coverage. The decision is part of a move by Bright to pull out of every state in which it operates but two, Florida and California, as it struggles for profitability. The change brings shockwaves in Colorado because Bright is the selected insurance carrier for Peak Health Alliance, a major health reform initiative backed by the administration of Governor Jared Polis. OmniTrax, a Denver-based transportation logistics company with 26 railroads in 12 states, is under contract to purchase the San Luis and Rio Grande Railroad following a bankruptcy auction. The move is fanning hopes for an economic lift from the historic railway. The San Luis and Rio Grande will give the company more than 2,000 miles of railroad across the U.S., doubling its Colorado footprint. Supporters of the railroad say if it weren't available to haul freight, there would be 24,000 more trucks a year on US 160 over Levita Pass. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.